I'm always wanting to make sure that I have purpose in my life. And right now, the biggest purpose that I have is, and I was case study of that every episode that I talk with people. I was able to go through this reflection experience with all my guests, and it really started to impact me and appreciating the value of reflection.
One of the most important things I've learned in my life is that a person can achieve all their goals. They can be wealthy and still not be fully free. As I climbed the wealth ladder and grew a company that was one of the most successful real estate investment companies of its kind here in St. Louis, Missouri, on the outside, I had everything I had dreamed of. The beautiful wife, nicer car than I thought I'd drive, nicer home, beautiful kids. And yet, on the inside, I didn't really feel any different. I still felt, quite frankly, like a slave. I was chasing money. I was chasing my next goal. And when I hit the goal, I wouldn't take the time to celebrate it. And I didn't know how to fully enjoy the journey along the way. So as I've aged, I've gotten curious, you know, how do we make our entire lives wealthy and not just one component of it? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to interview the guests on this show. And yeah, we're going to talk about what they've done and what their stories are and how they've become financially wealthy. But also, I want to dig into their relationship with money and their relationships with other and if they have more joy and fulfillment than when they started out, or if they don't, and why or why not. So thanks for tuning in. We got a great guest coming for you. Let's get started. Hey friends, Jim Manning here with another episode of the Passive Wealth Show. Today we have the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jason Shupp on the line. Jason is a friend of mine. He also is a podcast host. From There to Here is his podcast, and a legacy business owner. Thrilled to have Jason on the line and to talk about all things wealth building and all things today, Jason. So Jason, welcome. How are you, my friend?
I am well. Thanks for having me on the show, and I appreciate the kind words and the introduction.
Absolutely. So, all right. So Jason, so legacy business owner. I mean, we have a lot to talk about. We spent a little time before the call talking about all the things we could talk about. You had a business exit within the legacy business that you had that afforded you a few options and different opportunities. Why don't we just start the call briefly talking about that, and then we'll spend a little bit more time talking about the next chapter of your life and now that you're here, now that you're at the spot, what you're doing and why you're doing it. So can you just give us the high level overviews of the exit that you had?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the third generation owner of Ferguson Roofing. It's a residential and commercial construction company primarily focused with roofing and siding and related products. And about a little over a year ago, actually about 13 months ago, we closed on an acquisition. We were the ones that were acquired. The business partnership that we entered into is with Hoffman Brothers. And for those in the St. Louis area, they're a well-known name in HVAC, plumbing, and electrical. And I've had a long-standing relationship with the CEO, the second generation of that business. And there was a really good opportunity to partner the businesses, to fold ourselves underneath their umbrella, to continue to grow the business in ways that I was not able to, provide additional opportunities for our team, continue to do good things for our customers and the community. And I'm still a owner of the business, a minority owner of the business. My responsibilities have changed. It was important to let a new leadership team steward the business going into the future. And so I'm more of I guess you could say, in the backseat of the car, to use that analogy, to help with continuity, help provide institutional knowledge, help drive, you know, the cultural transition, and still represent the values of the brand going forward. But I certainly, as we're getting this far into the transition, have, I should say, a lot more free time. It's not really probably a good term to use, but my responsibilities to the business are certainly less, much less than what they were when I was operating the business.
So you've gone from operating the business to really being more of just a passive business owner. How much time a week do you think you spend in it now?
Well, that's a good question. It's varied from 10 hours, 10 or 15 hours to 40 hours. You know, this first year of the transition, we're in, again, the 13th month. And this was a very, when I say very turbulent year, we just had a lot of storm activity. And in our industry, that drives a lot of opportunity. It's very much can be feast or famine. So it's been a really busy year operationally while we're also trying to transition, you know, leadership, you know, establish new SOPs, improve practices, internal communications, things like that. So it was a lot to put on the team. And that required me to be involved more than we all probably had expected, mostly just to help with the operations of the business, project management and other components. But as we get to the end of this year and transition through the winter and have a time to breathe and really focus on just the transitional part of the business and not so much the output of the business, my time will probably be more of that 5 to 10 hours a week, to be honest. I mean, I'm available as much as they need me, but in all reality, I mean, they have a good team and they're going to make a lot of good decisions that won't require, you know, yeah, my presence, essentially.
Yeah, they're starting to need you less and less.
Exactly.
So it looks like you're at thinking 5 to 10 hours a week this year, or at least for the rest of the year, and then maybe even less than that going forward, a little bit less.
It's very possible as we get into winter, it'll be that thin. But like most things, if something comes up, you know, I shouldn't say it will be, I can't speak in absolutes. There's opportunities that'll be project-based where, you know, hey, Jason, we have this going on. You know, we need your assistance. Can you help support this or drive this? And that could be much more intensive. But more than likely, that'll be for a defined period of time. It won't be, hey, we need you to come back to work for 40 hours a week for the next, you know, 9 months. It'll be, hey, help spearhead this project or help support this project. Here's a time frame we're looking at. You know, as we grow and expand, you know, I suspect that I'll possibly be tapped to support that. But if I averaged it out, you know, on an annual basis, I'm sure it'll probably be closer to that 10 hours a week.
Gotcha. How are you thinking about like the rest of your time? You got 10 hours a week. You got a lot of free time. Are you going to just go to the beach as much as possible and hang them up? What are you going to do?
Well, it's going to be likely a combination of things. I would definitely say I'm wanting to take some time for myself, not specifically where I need to take the sabbatical and not think about being productive. But the last few years, personally and professionally, have been very exhausting. And there's been a lot of sacrifices to get to where we are now. And I want to take some time, not just for myself, you know, with other, you know, passion projects I want to pursue. I also want to make sure I take the appropriate time for myself to recover physically and mentally, make sure that I'm plugged into my family, which I've always believe I've done a good job with, but I want to be, you know, very intentional with that. So finding that balance to focus on those elements of my life are definitely a priority. But with that, I'm always wanting to make sure that I have purpose in my life. And right now, the biggest purpose that I have is my podcast. I needed some creative outlets. Even before the acquisition, that's when my podcast had started, and it was something that I really, really enjoyed doing. It was my release from the stresses of the business world. And now that I am free of a lot of those stressors, I can really pursue my podcast and just content creation in general with much more intention. I suspect I'll start wanting to overlay some entrepreneurship into that and how I can grow it and potentially monetize it in the future. But right now, I just really enjoy the process of it and the particular format of my show and its paradigm. And so that's going to be where I put a lot of my energy.
Yeah. So just guys, plug for his podcast. You know, I've been a guest on maybe 50 plus shows now, and Jason asks some of the best questions. He's so good at it, by the way, that I'm a little bit nervous interviewing him because I want to like be up to snuff, so to speak. He asks some of the most thoughtful questions. Fantastic.
And I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the passion project. Why do you think it is? Like, tell me more about that.
You know, again, to echo what I was saying, I needed something for myself. Right around when COVID started, my brother and I had just separated professionally from the business. And then I was not sure what my future for the stewardship of the business was going to be. And I was doing a lot of reflecting. I had an opportunity to do a little bit of writing, which I was very, very proud of. It was a very cathartic process. And then when I had an opportunity with the same outfit to be in their first cohort to develop a podcast network, it was just very therapeutic. And it was at a time where I really needed to do something that was just for me and not have any pressures of business, not have the stressors of monetization. It was just something for me. And the format of my show is taking, you know, entrepreneurs and experts through their origin story. So it's all about reflection. At least that's what the show has grown into. And I was a case study of that. Every episode that I talked with people, I was able to go through this reflection experience with all my guests. And it really started to impact me and appreciating the value of reflection. And it became almost addictive to have that intentionality and that mindfulness on a regular basis and to be able to share that with somebody else. So it was something that I really just wanted to do more with. And now that, again, as I start to have more time, I can really focus on what can I do with this product that's developing.
So I'm going to ask you a question before I make a comment on this, like to add on to it. I may know the answer, but let's make sure. So what would you said I needed this, and what was having this outlet on a personal level, do you have more joy now because you've had this outlet, and has it impacted, how has it impacted your overall life from before you had it compared to after you had it?
That's an excellent question. And it impacted me in ways I didn't expect. It definitely changed the way that I communicate with people. And I said this early on in the podcast that, and I still believe this, that we have, at least I do, I don't want to project to all others, but I suspect a lot of people would find this to be a true statement, that we tend to meet people with where they're at and we just move forward with them. And oftentimes don't really ask or inquire about where they came from, what the context is, how they got to where they are now. And we may glean pieces of that as we start to develop relationships, but oftentimes it doesn't seem to be intentional really to look backwards because we're such a forward, focused society. And this experience has really changed the way that I communicate with people, that I want to really understand the nuances, and you get that through context. So I ask questions to people, and this is even when I'm not on the podcast, just when I meet people, I want to better understand the context of their life and the nuances that shaped who they are. And a big part of being successful at doing that is really to be empathetic. And so this whole process is, and I would like to think I was always fairly empathetic or had an aptitude to be empathetic, but this really leveled up my game in that area, just to understand people better. And then I find that carries over just when I take in new information, how I can process this in ways that I normally wouldn't have, because my empathy has grown. I'm now able to see things in ways or from perspectives that I may not have before I took on this podcast project.
How do you feel about yourself now compared to before your podcast?
I'm happier. I feel like I am now pursuing something rather than searching for something. And it feels right for me. This is a path that I know is where I want to be, a path that I want to walk down. So I feel very certain, if that's a way to describe it.
So here's what's crazy about this, guys. We talked about Jason's exit, and yes, that's helping him spend time on this. There's no question about it. But we didn't talk about how you haven't really talked like, oh, well, I had this exit. Now all of a sudden my life's happier. My life's more enjoyable. It's been more like, hey, I had this self-reflection that I did some inner work. I found what my purpose is. And now I'm working my purpose. And then that has deeply unlocked another whole level in my life. And what I have found, to echo what Jason's saying, guys, is a lot of the answers we look for, whether it's or in our seeking, the knee jerk is to look outside of ourselves at first, but not all the answers can be found outside. Sometimes they need to be found on the inside. And how often do we skip that step? And if you're waiting to be happy, like, you know, hey, I'm going to build this business, have this huge exit, then I'll be, you know, once I do that, then I'll be happy. Then I'll have a better relationship with my kids and my family and everything like that. Well, unfortunately, that's a lie. And you're lying to yourself, because a lot of that path doesn't necessarily involve money or hitting the goal or hitting that level of achievement. Like, it comes from interior growth. And can you grow your soul and grow your headspace and the type of person you are to be able to have that empathy, like a Jason Shep does, right? And that's profound to me that here we're talking to an individual as successful as you are. But one of the things that makes Jason different, guys, and Jason and I, first time we had a coffee, it was supposed to be like a half hour long, and we spent like 90 minutes just connecting at like a crazy deep level, to the point I felt like we had been friends for 3 or 4 years after 90 minutes. Like, that's how deep the conversation got, right? I've met other ultra successful financial guys, guys that 50 billion or 50 million plus exit, you name it, 100 million plus. In many ways, we're more miserable than a lot of the other people I know, that maybe an individual's middle class teacher their whole lives, and they have more of an inner peace than that guy that still had the $100 million exit. And so the thing that Jason that I've appreciated with you is yeah, you've had that some big successes in business, but there's also something different and special about you. And you've been able to accomplish both, whereas I think a lot of people maybe go after the business success, they go after the passive wealth, and they maybe lose themselves along the way. So, I mean, what else can you, soapbox moment, tangent over? This is my ADD moment here. This is supposed to be Jason Shep's interview, not Jim going into a 10-minute tangent on things. So, what's going on in your head as I talk about that interior growth and juxtaposed to like you having that big exit in your life? Like, what do you think?
There's a couple things that set me up for success, as a person, and from the financial side of things, I've always had enough, for the lifestyle that my family chooses to live. And we're very grateful for the lifestyle that we have. Most of our focus has been, experiential. So how do we, of course, take care of ourselves, with just the logistics of life, but how do we fund the experiences that we want to have? If we buy toys, they're toys that are going to be serving us, with hobbies that we really want to pursue, because we extract a lot of value from them as people, traveling, things like that. But we've always had those opportunities from the business. So it wasn't a matter of, okay, how do we exit from the business so we can finally, have, more financial gains so we can do the things that we want. We've always structured our life, as a family, to always have those experiences while we were, working in the business as well. So I didn't have this dramatic like change once I stepped away from the business that, oh, now I can do all the stuff I've been putting on hold. That was never the case. The other thing that set me up for success, and I learned this from a lot of advisors and mentors and colleagues, but I also learned this from watching my dad, because this was a struggle for him. But I never had my identity locked into the business. So when I stepped away from it, there wasn't this defining moment a moment where I needed to define, is probably a better way to say it, of who am I? Like, what am I now? That wasn't wasn't a problem with me. I was always separate from the business. I mean, Ferguson Roofing is a business. Jason was only the steward of the business. I have my own life. I developed my own life, my own passions, my own goals. The business, I had to do my part to support it. But once there was another steward who could steward the business as well or better than what I was able to do during my tenure, my identity was not lost with that. I was still who I am. And now I have opportunities to then grow in ways that the time afforded me now will allow me to grow. And I, you know, already shared a lot of that. So those were probably the two things that really just, I think, set me up for success in this transition, that it wasn't a struggle. It's now just an opportunity. How do I just be a better version of me now that I have more time to work on me?
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, as you've exited, let's talk just, you know, a little bit on like the wealth building side of things too, being that this is called the Passive Wealth Show. So we're going to give you some wealth building. How do you look at like the wealth building now that you've had the exit, and like, what are some things you've had success with?
Well, to provide a little bit of context, yeah, I'll have to go back just a little bit, because I think, at least for me, again, you know, if this can get extrapolated to others, fantastic. But for me, I didn't work in the business specifically to try and find this, you know, this exit. Like, I being in a legacy business, the goal isn't to build it up and sell it and then, you know, get this big return. The expectation is that you invest in the business, you grow the business, and then you hope that it can be stewarded, you know, going forward, whether it be through the next generation or through an opportunity like this. So I was never planning for, you know, some big windfall at the end of my tenure. Because of that, I always wanted to make good decisions when I was running the business, and as there were opportunities to, you know, pull money out of the business, I wanted to make sure that I was already setting myself up for success. For a lot of reasons, I was, as a person, I've been very debt averse. I'm very risky in many other areas. Like, most of my hobbies, you know, can pretty much get you killed. But when it comes to debt, I've been very debt averse, and there's a whole story behind that, which we can get into another time. So once I started having more access to money, I wanted to make sure that I, you know, had all bills paid off, you know, no credit card debt, pay the house off as fast as possible, so I have that security. So this way, any money that now becomes available to me, I can now start to invest that, but I don't ever have to worry about any real risk because I don't owe anyone anything. And then also gives me flexibility, you know, during my, I'll call it my working years, that I could split my investments, or at least the money I'm investing, up or down as need be. If I need to, you know, think about, you know, putting more money into experiential traveling, okay, we just, you know, invest a little bit less, you know, for that period of time. If we're in a good place in that part of our life, then we can look at possibly investing more money. But it can be a balance of, how do we grow our net worth, but also how do we make sure that we are experientially enjoying life the way we want to during these times? One of the things that really allowed us to do that successfully, and this is something that I believe everyone should do, is work with a professional financial advisor, not your buddy who, you know, took a class or anything like that. I mean, like a proper, unbiased financial advisor, someone who that's what they do, and they're gonna provide good, unfiltered information, so that you can actually have that plan laid out and you can actually follow the math and know what you need to do, so that as you're making decisions on what you want to invest in, what you want to spend money on, how long you want to work, when is a possible exit good, what do you need to do after the exit, what's the math tell you? So when I exit out of the business, and I'm still an owner, as I said, I still am an employee of the business, you know, I still work and draw income from the business, but for how long do I want to keep doing that? And if I don't know what the math is working with an advisor, I'm either going to work longer than I need to, which affects the experiences I want to have in life, or I'm not going to work long enough, which affects my ability to pay my bills when I'm 75. So that those habits that I developed during my working years, and again, it's very weird to say that, are really what led up to the ability for me to make the decisions that I do now. So now that I've avoided debt, I started to build my net worth. You know, I have, you know, more money available to me now with the transition. Now it's just a matter of what are the opportunities that won't, I mean, cause I just turned 51, so I don't want to be too risky. I don't need to risk, you know, losing a lot of money. I know what my quality of life, you know, I want it to look like for the next, you know, 30 to 35 years. I can start investing in those things that can give me a certain safety to it, but also I can look at, you know, longer time horizons for that investment, because I know how much longer I'm wanting to work. I just know the math. So it just gives me opportunities to be more open to all the different revenue streams that I can do, you know, whether it's, you know, through a one-year CD or investing in, you know, the real estate fund that I do with you and your outfit. Mm-hmm. I can balance all of this out into a comprehensive strategy because I have all the variables of the equation. It's just a matter of making sure that when I plug all these in, it adds up to how do I maximize experiences and still have the money I need to fund to when I expect to pass on.
What's the most recent experience trip that you went on?
Oh, experience trip. Oh, those, I would say the most recent one would have been a couple weeks out in Colorado with the family.
Okay.
Just enjoying the mountains where, my son will say he's a beach person, but my wife and I are both very much mountain people. So.
Yeah. Gotcha. Oh, that's neat. Yeah. So yeah, you spent a couple weeks out there. Is there anything like in particular you do to create that experience? Like what, outside of just like a normal vacation, like what, yeah, what's something that you do?
We're a very active family. So, you know, we're hikers, bikers, you know, I rock climb, you know, my son and my wife enjoy all those activities as well. So we're, you know, thrill seekers essentially, in many regards. We do appreciate the quiet moments, but we like to be adventurous. And so we just like to create opportunities. Like when we travel, especially when it's international, we want to make sure that we're traveling, in a way that we can experience the culture. Like we're not really your all-inclusive type. We want to make sure that we're plugged in with the culture of, you know, the country that we're in. And you can even say that if we're domestically, same thing. We want to make sure that we have an opportunity to really get plugged in with the local culture and the local scene and just get to know the place that we're at and the people that we're with. And then we want to get outdoors and be as athletic and adventurous as possible and try and challenge ourselves in ways that we can. For example, we were in Curacao earlier this year. My son really likes to swim. He knows that my wife and I scuba dive. He was interested and we were able to start his training process. And he's been properly scuba diving on that trip. And to be 45 feet under, you know, the ocean, you know, a few feet away from my son, while he's seeing sea life and animal life that he's only read about or have seen in movies, was just really an amazing parent moment. Scary, but also a very proud parent moment that I get to share this world, this underwater world that means so much to me and so much to my wife with my son, and an experience that not many 10-year-olds get and is going to stick with him for the rest of his life and hopefully define the different types of challenges he wants to take on. So
was it scary because he's 10 and scuba diving? Is that what was the scary part? Or was it like you had sharks that you were swimming with there?
No, it was that he's 10 and we've had him in situations that probably being the most significant where if things go wrong, they go wrong. And it's not easy to just come in and just make everything right. It's highly consequential. And of course, you know, for any of the helicopter parents who are listening to this, you know, you want to make sure that you're very safe and you do your due diligence and you never push your child beyond what their capabilities are. All things that my wife and I are very conscientious of. But when you have adventures, there's consequences to those. And that's an environment that, yeah, as a parent can be scary. I mean, even if something happened to my wife or myself in that environment, it's scary. But certainly for, you know, for someone who is more dependent on others. But at the same time, these are the experiences that I want him to have. I want him to be challenged. I want him to learn how to be self-reliant, how to critically think, how to test his boundaries, how to grow. And so it was scary, but a very much proud parent moment.
That's so cool. So, I mean, let's look into the future as we kind of wrap this conversation up. So more and more time, you have the ownership of a growing company and you still have a minority ownership of it. That's going to require less and less time. What's the next phase in your life look like? What are you going to go on 2 weeks out of the month? You going to go on these trips or like you going to get back to work and do some new projects? What are you thinking, man?
Well, right now, so when I was able to step away from the business, my wife, who is just obscenely talented, had worked as a professional engineer for over two decades. And she had an opportunity to step away from engineering, okay. which we talked about. It was hard for her to do so, but as I was having more time and more freedom, and that would change how we could start to travel with our son, it made sense for her to have a work-life balance that was in line with that. So like there was never the, I have to go, you know, clock in at 7 o'clock while, you know, her husband and her son had more freedom. So she had the ability to step away. And during this time though, she had been shifting into her personal passions of wellness and nutrition for many, many years and had a side hustle that she was developing. So as she stepped away from engineering, she was able to pursue her nutritional side hustle as a full-time entrepreneurship opportunity. Well, the universe is interesting how it provides for things. She's also been a longtime yoga practitioner. And this summer, she had the opportunity with the yoga studio, that she'd been going to for about a year and a half, had an opportunity to actually take over the ownership of it. So we, as of, I think it was, what, September, are now owners of a yoga studio. My wife is the driving force of that. I joke and say I'm now the owner or minority owner of two businesses. And so right now, a big part of what I'm doing is supporting her entrepreneurship. This is the first time that she's had a chance to really, really pursue this level of being an entrepreneur. So I'm in full support of that as we continue to grow this very established yoga studio. And it's been interesting. So now I'm getting pulled back into, okay, monetization. Yes, we are all about the mission of the yoga studio and what it does for people and all the mindfulness and benefits that come from that. But it's a business. So we have to make sure that we're good custodians of that business. So we're having to make sure that we are, you know, running a good business, you know, good customer engagement, all the marketing you have to factor into, just, you know, the financial literacy that you have to pay attention to. So that's a big part of it. But also when you look at, since again, we're talking about wealth management, that's another revenue stream that wasn't part of the initial plan that now we get to work into our financial plan of, okay, how does this scale things up faster? What other opportunities does this create? Because now we're changing the math, hopefully in a positive direction. So that's kind of been a big focus of the family right now. And then we're going to have to be very intentional how we balance her entrepreneurship with the intention of everything I said earlier, as far as wanting to make sure that we are, you know, able to travel more and be more intentional with experiences. We don't want to get locked back down into now one of us is, you know, doing the daily grind for 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week. So finding that balance is an important daily intention right now so that we can support the yoga community, support her entrepreneurship, increase our net worth, you know, to some degree, but not derail everything that I know that I've been seeking after I was able to step away from the business.
Yeah, not trade one job for another, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So how many months ago did she buy it again?
I think it was September 1. It was like three or 4 weeks ago. So this is okay. a very new thing, which will be, you know, exciting as we come into winter and really get it lined out, you know, going into next year. So beyond that, you know, it's going to be hard to say what entrepreneurship, you know, looks like for, you know, for the family or for me specifically. You know, I think I'm pretty much going to be focused on the passion projects. Yep. With the podcast. I'm working on a book as well, which is a whole nother conversation. So ideally 2025 will be really evolving those works into something that's, I don't want to say monetizable, but something that's tangible. Yeah. and products that I can put out, you know, to the public that hopefully add value. And my wife will continue to grow the studio. And then we will continue to be intentional about finding the balance that we want. And then always checking in with our advisor to make sure the math is mathing and where we need to be. And when we do officially retire, whatever that word means these days.
So, and hey, next time we have coffee, if I see you in yoga pants, I'll understand why.
My wife wears those much better than I, so I'll let her be in the work outfit.
We'll let Jamie wear the yoga pants. Oh man. Well, Jason, thanks for coming on, man. And hey guys, thanks for tuning in. We will see you next time here on the Passive Wealth Show. Jason, you the man. Until next time, guys, hope you be well and invest well. Take care. All right, guys, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have a website, passivewealthshow.com, where you can get more great content and resources. We offer a passive profit strategy session, and you can find that on our website as well, where we'll basically ask you a bunch of discovery questions and help you figure out if investing passively is a good thing for you or not. So go to our website, passivewealthshow.com, and we'll go from there.